From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com. Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Sockeye salmon are forecasted to return somewhat stronger this year in the Upper Cook Inlet. But the forecast comes as state fisheries managers have closed king salmon sport fishing and the east side set net fishery altogether this summer amid a continuing trend of declining runs in the region. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game is forecasting this year's sockeye runs to be average at an estimated 5.1 million fish, with more than 3.1 million available for harvest. That includes commercial, sport, personal use, and subsistence fishing. Tad Russell is an Upper Cook Inlet drift fisherman and has been commercial fishing in the inlet since 2009. He says, like most years, he's cautiously optimistic about the season ahead.
It's not horrible. It's not great. It's a little less than the 20-year average. And, you know, a forecast is a forecast. It's like a good guess, so you can only hope for the best.
The state's forecast is a slight increase from last year's projection, which was categorized as weak at 4.97 million sockeye in 2022. The actual harvest last year for fishing fleets in Cook Inlet showed a bit of a bump, with 5.2 million for the total run and 1.4 million sockeye harvested. Russell says it's a complicated fishery. But last year, he had a good harvest. This year's forecast still falls far short of the 20-year average of 6 million fish. Escapement this year is projected to stay the same with a goal of 2 million sockeye. The Upper Cook Inlet runs have been low for the last several years and plagued by local, state, and federal management conflicts, legal action, and out-of-cycle proposals to the Board of Fisheries. Earlier this month, the Department of Fish and Game closed the king salmon sport and east side set net fisheries much earlier than usual. The department said they will closely monitor the king salmon abundance in the Kenai River this summer. If the run surpasses the 13,630 fish forecast and the escapement goal of 15,000 to 30,000 fish, then the east side set net fisheries could be opened this season. Thanks to KBBI's Corinne Smith for that report.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Southeast Alaska lawmakers are joining tribal and municipal governments in calling on the federal government to stop, at least temporarily, British Columbia's mining activities in transboundary watersheds. KSTK's Sade Smiley has this report.
Southeast Alaska's major river systems, the Taku, Unik, and Stikine, originate in British Columbia. Those transboundary watersheds are peppered with mineral claims and shuttered former mining operations. How the mines are regulated and cleaned up has long been a point of concern and tension across the international border. Recent studies have shown wide-ranging impacts from mines hundreds of miles downstream. At a press conference March 8th, Ketchikan Independent Representative Dan Ortez explained one mine cleanup in particular has been in question since he was a freshman legislator, the Tulsiqua Chief Mine on the Taku.
They said they're going to get right on it, and that was over 8 years ago.
After meeting with two British Columbia government officials, Alaska legislators announced they were calling on the U.S. to intervene. Their letter, addressed to U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and signed by several Southeast Alaska lawmakers, calls for an immediate and temporary pause on mine permitting and exploration in BC until there's a binding international agreement in place. Ortez said he and fellow lawmakers stand with the regional tribal government, the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, environmental group Salmon Beyond Borders, and dozens of municipal and tribal governments throughout the region calling for greater protections for transboundary watersheds.
It's really simple. We've heard loud and clear from constituents that Alaskans need enforceable protections. Over 100 Alaskan tribes, municipalities, commercial and sports fishing businesses and organizations, and thousands of Alaskans have written letters and passed resolutions asking for the Boundary Waters Treaty to be invoked. We want to join with these thousands of voices in calling for that action.
The called for action would come through the 1909 Boundary Waters Treaty between the U.S. and Canada. If the federal government heeds the call, it could refer the issue to the International Joint Commission, the governing body for that treaty. The IJC could then bring together Southeast tribes, First Nations, provincial, state, and federal governments to work on the shared watershed issues.
It's time that we actually see some progress being made in terms of putting forward some real protections out there so that our way of life can continue to exist long into the future for our children, for our grandchildren.
There's already a memorandum of understanding between the state of Alaska and the provincial government of British Columbia to work together to monitor and protect transboundary watersheds, but it's proved unhelpful in including downstream communities and tribes in the mine permitting process. Brianna Walker is with Salmon Beyond Borders.
What's needed in addition to that MOU state-to-province process is a parallel federal-to-federal process that ensures tribes and First Nations are at the table and in the lead, that municipalities and lawmakers downstream have a say, and that everyone is coming together and that there is some accountability in place.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
Alaska's legislature doesn't have legal authority to permit or decline mining actions, but Juneau Democrat Representative Sarah Hannon says that's why she signed on to the letter calling for federal cooperation with tribal governments and Canada's government.
All we can do is lift up and affirm that we support that effort, that the Indigenous people of this place have a legal right and standing to be heard and consulted in the process. We as legislators can jump up and down, but we don't have standing to make those decisions.
Plus, Hannon added, there needs to be better communication with Alaskans. While she's been told state officials with the Department of Environmental Conservation are meeting regularly with BC officials,
they've not invited our tribes to the table. They've not included us in the dialogues. They've not shared the minutes of their meetings publicly. So although they contend they have very regular working group meetings making progress, that progress is in isolation from the fishermen and the communities that are the most active and concerned.
The legislators' call echoes resolutions passed by Southeast communities and tribal governments in recent years. Tlingit and Haida President Chashia Ish Richard Peterson says the salmon and hooligan runs in the rivers are vital.
Our shared transboundary rivers have nourished our indigenous peoples here since time immemorial, and it is our responsibility to ensure these rivers can provide for generations to come.
Peterson said when he's gone to meet with consulates or Canadian government representatives, it's been frustrating because Canadian officials aren't obligated to act on Central Council's requests since part of the tribe is based in the States.
Central Council, Tlingit and Haida, is divided by this border. We have Tlingits in the interior, in Yukon, we have Tlingit, Taku River Tlingit. We have Haida and Haida Gwaii in BC. We are a nation divided by somebody else's lines. And we should have a voice. We should be the ones being consulted and considered when we talk about the impacts of mines.
Peterson and other Central Council members also met with BC ministry officials and says during that meeting, Tlingit and Haida committed to quarterly meetings with the province. He says he also challenged the ministers to utilize years' worth of water quality data collected by samplers for the tribe, along with their own monitoring projects.
We do a very thorough and good job. So that data exists. We don't need anybody else to be doing it separately. We're already doing it. So it's there.
He says the Southeast way of life and healthy communities are dependent on fisheries, both from a traditional cultural and social standpoint to an economic standpoint.
This should be simple. Whatever political leanings, whether you're pro-industry or against industry, you should want clean water. You should want systems that support healthy habitat, healthy and strong returns of salmon that will rear and spawn for generations to come. That's the bottom line.
Asked for comment, BC Ministry spokesperson Peter Lonergan wrote in a statement that the province is, quote, committed to working collaboratively with both state and federal U.S. agencies to manage water quality in shared waterways, and added that meetings with the Central Council, Alaska legislators, and others were fruitful, and they will, quote, continue this important collaborative work. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.